the Premier News podcast, talking music videos in association with Loop Talent. Welcome to another episode of the Premier News podcast with David Knight and me, Rob Ulitsky, where we talk music videos with a person making an impact in music video creativity right now. Our guest in this episode is Regina Meeson, a hairstylist who has made a big contribution to videos in the past year for the likes of Amaray, Anise and Little Sims. She was nominated in the inaugural Best Hair and Makeup in a Video category at the recent UK Music Video Awards for her work on the Anise video for Chew featuring Topaz Jones, and was a member of the hairstyling team on the Little Sims Woman video that was also nominated for the award. Firstly, we asked Regina how she became a professional hairstylist.
How did I start? I think initially I actually studied tourism management, so it was a very different direction.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And where was that?
I studied in the Netherlands.
And so you're from the Netherlands?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. I'm part Belgian, German, part South African, but I moved around quite a lot growing up. And I ended up at university in the Netherlands. And then I started working, and I think I lasted about 6 months in the office world. After 6 months, I quit because I spent every morning waking up going, oh, another day. So I bumped around for about 6 months, not really knowing what to do with my life. And then one day a friend of mine called me and she was just like, oh, but you've always talked about doing hair and makeup. Why don't you just come to London and try your luck? And that was literally the push I needed, because I hung up the phone. I called my mom and I went, I'm moving to London in 6 weeks' time. I'm going to become a hairdresser. Okay, bye. And I hung up the phone.
What, before she could respond to say, go do it?
Yeah, they didn't really get a chance to say much. I think they were both a bit like, was she joking? Is she being serious or anything like that? And so I just kind of turned up with a suitcase and £600. And that's all. Worst comes to worst, I can always call my parents and be like, you know, I'm kind of homeless now. Can you buy me a ticket to come back home? You know?
How did your friend know that led her to think that you would be good to be a hairdresser, hairstylist?
I think I always talked about it. I always, you know, and I even whilst I was at uni, I always did things like braiding hair on the side to get a bit of extra income. But I think from quite a young age, my heart was quite interested. Like I was quite interested in hairdressing, but it was just that was, you know, this whole thing of you have to study and, you know, and don't get me wrong, I think education is extremely important because it's a privilege. If you, like, I grew up in third world countries, like I grew up in Africa, like in the deepest depths of the Congo, Malawi, places like that.
Right.
And so you do realize that education is not as widely accessible as people think it is. So there was this thing of you have to be educated in order to move forward in the world. But it was a little bit like, well, I've done what I've been asked to do. So now let me try and do what I want to do.
Yeah.
Because I'd always talked about it. I think even when I was little, I used to give my Barbie dolls hairstyles and, you know, it was all about the latest haircuts and things like that. So I just literally landed in London with my suitcase and £600 and kind of thought, wow, let's try this, isn't it?
Wow.
So what were those, what were the early days like? I mean, how did you get from kind of that situation to your first kind of shoot?
Oh, it took a long time. it took a very long time because I actually ended up going to college. I trained in hair salons because I did want to learn how to do it properly. I didn't want to just be like, oh, let me rock up and learn things as you go along, which a lot of people do. But I did start in salons. I think I was in salons for the best part of 10 years, 9 years.
Right.
And then after that, I went freelance. And even when I went freelance, I was more on the education side of things, working for manufacturing companies and teaching a lot about the science of hair care.
Sure.
But because of that, I started meeting people who would organize shows. And through doing that, I started meeting makeup artists and photographers. And then that's how I sort of started collaborating with people to build a portfolio. You kind of grow from there. You meet people and you do something and then they introduce you to somebody else. And then slowly, eventually I got to a stage where I was like, oh, I can build a website. And, you know, it was a lot of word of mouth. But I think a lot of people, I think they think that, you know, it's just kind of like on a fall from the sky because I've seen a lot of people come to London with this dream of I'm going to be the next best hairdresser out there. And what I've learned over the years is actually, yeah, it's your skill, it's your ability on how to get along with people, but it is also persevering and not giving up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And was it always the intention to work in media, I guess, you know, to be a hairstylist on fashion shoots?
Yeah, I think at the back of my mind, that was the ultimate aim, was I'm going to be that person who works on shoots and music videos and commercials. And, you know, it's when you're not there, it's all a very glamorous lifestyle, isn't it? It just looks fantastic. It looks amazing. When you're in it, you're like,
Yeah, there's a reality to it.
Yeah, there is a reality to it. And I see it even when, like, my people around me say to me, you're so lucky you do all these jobs. And I'm like, well, you know, I love what I do. But just as much as somebody else takes their job seriously when they go into their 9-to-5 every day, I have to do the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's also a job. But the difference is I actually get to do something I love.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Do you remember the very first shoot you did?
The very first paid shoot that I did, I don't know how, it's a funny one because it was with Belinda Carlisle. I don't know if you guys
know her. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
This is a while ago, but I just remember thinking, oh my God, like she was, you know, she was massive a while ago. And so, and it was somebody I always used to watch on TV when I was a kid and think, oh wow, you know. So to be put in that reality at one stage in my career, like 10 years into doing hairdressing, and be like, I'm actually doing this person's life who I've watched, or this person's hair who I've watched on TV as a child, it was a bit surreal.
Yeah.
So what was she like? Yeah. Alike.
Well, she was really nice. She was really, really nice, really down to earth. You know, but that was the beginning of it. And then I thought, okay, this is, you know, things are gonna move from here. And then it did eventually turn into other, I ended up being very fortunate landing in other situations and meeting a lot of people and being
was there a big breakthrough moment or a job that really made a difference?
I think along the line there have been all these little moments of journeys, and then you kind of reach a certain point and you think, oh wow, you know. I think one of the moments where I was just like, actually I think I might make it one day, was I did the MTV Music Awards in Milan a few years ago.
All right.
I was standing in this arena, and I'd never been in an arena that full. And I was just like, you're not actually part of the audience. You've worked, you've created, like, I created the looks for the dance, for Jason Derulo's dancers, for example, you know. Ooh. And then everybody kind of had to follow my lead on that. And it was just, that was one moment. I went on tour with Anastasia. That was, you know, a whole different experience as well. We toured the whole of Europe, experiencing the fan club life. That was very marking. And again, like, people were like, oh my God, you're going to live this amazing rock and roll life. And then I was thinking, yeah, maybe I should take a few things for the club, you know. But then again, when you are actually on this tour bus, you realize nobody's going clubbing. Like, you work. Yeah.
It's a job. Yeah, you're going around and you're making these things. That's amazing.
So it's been like moments like that, milestone moments, where you kind of sit back and you look at what it is that you've actually just done and achieved, and you see it. Or like once I had work up on Piccadilly billboards, you know, it was a commercial I did, and I remember calling my friend and saying, we have to go to Piccadilly now because, you know, my work is up there and I need to take a picture of it so I can send it to my mom. Do you know what I
mean? Yeah.
You mean on the neon, on the, in Piccadilly Circus, up on the,
yeah,
up on the screens.
Yeah, wow. On the screens. And I remember like making her stand there and go like, no, you missed that bit. Take that picture again.
I'm sure there'll be kind of people that want to get into hairstyling and things like that. Is there anything that you've really learned that would be a really good tip for those people?
I think a really good tip for people would be to definitely always, you know, you do have to act correct. You can't ever have a diva moment. because people remember how you are. People remember how you made them feel, you know, and like ultimately you don't get places if you're mean to people. Do you know what I mean? You always have to be nice.
Sure.
And I think definitely the other thing would be to never give up, because when you're freelancing, you don't know when your next income is where it's coming from, how you're going to pay your next bill and things like that. And all these things, at some point, I'm sure everybody who's walked in, you know, that those footsteps has kind of reached a stage where they've just been like, you know what, I quit.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not easy. But if you don't believe in yourself, nobody else will.
Sure.
And the thing is also, you have to look at it kind of like, well, like meeting people who've done things, you know, much bigger than me. My attitude has never been like, oh, I want to do what they're doing. But I always looked at it like, if you're standing in front of this person and you're having the conversation with them, if they can do it, what is actually your reason for not being able to do the same thing? Does that make sense?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. 100%.
Do you feel that you're as good as anybody who is a big hairstylist? Do you have like, is stuff that only you can do?
That's a good question, isn't it? I think people, everybody across the board, we all have our strengths and our weaknesses, you know. And I mean, like, for example, I know, and I'm very honest about what I think I can achieve and what I can achieve. So I don't think it's necessarily about saying, oh, I can't, I will try at least, you know. Like, I do know, like, when I was working in salons and people would come in and be like, I want a curly perm, I would tell them, honestly, find another hairdresser because I'm not going to deliver. Like, but I know that I can't do it. What, in terms of skill sets, I think definitely one of my biggest strengths is actually Afro hair. Because I worked with this manufacturing company I've been with them for 17 years now on a freelance basis, but they've given me, in terms of scientifically understanding hair, they've given me a lot of knowledge and a lot of power and a lot of understanding. And there is something, as much as people will be like, oh, it's just hair. Not just hair, it's somebody's business card ultimately. You know, when you meet someone, a lot of times people are going to be like, oh, you know, you will look at the person, how they present themselves and everything. But how you handle the hair also, when you step to a client, a singer, or anybody just generally, it is about how you handle them, how you handle their hair. It's about not being too rough with somebody, you know, like swinging them about with their head and all the rest of that. I think that it's one of the things I would definitely say when it comes to Afro hair, I definitely know how to look after it, make it look good, and still be creative with it. You do have to think a little bit more about what you're doing and how you're doing it. However, I do think that it is quite miracle hair, because you can do a lot with it that people underestimate often what the capacities are with that.
What's the work that you're really pleased with?
Work that I'm really pleased with? I think it would have to be the Anais music video right now, because obviously it's gotten me to the point where I'm like, hey, I got nominated for a music video in the hair category, hair makeup category. It was really nice working on that, because it was very creative. And it was literally like, we want horns and we want electric blue hair attached to it. And it was just like, excuse me. So that was what the kind of the brief was. And so I was a little bit like, right, how am I going to make this happen? And then I do actually like that when people tell me, this is what we want to do and we're going to push. We're going to push the boundaries and your creativity. And then you have to try and sit and work out how in the world are you going to make that happen. So it does take a lot of researching. So like what I tend to do when I have to research for music videos, for example, is I'll go to hair shops in Brixton, in Finsbury Park, all those kind of areas. And I'm very tactile like that. So I have to touch, feel, see. I might not necessarily, you know, I would never be able to say to somebody, go buy me this specific type of hair, because I need to see what it is that I'm playing with.
Sure.
And then regarding the prep for it, I think I was up the night before until about 2 o'clock in the morning finishing the horns. No, but it was just the whole process behind it. It was quite, and there was a lot more work that we did with it. There was a twins, two guys who were twins, and, you know, I had to do different looks on them. There was wig looks. There was, then the main singer, obviously, she had her long braid. And then, you know, sometimes you prepare things, and then as you're on set, it's just like, actually, maybe we could do this. So we ended up pinning her braid all the way down onto her outfit.
Yeah.
Obviously, you can't ruin the outfit. You can't ruin the hair. So, you know, it's as simple as it actually looks. It's a lot of mathematics that goes into, like, okay, how are we going to make this happen? And even with the horns that I was preparing the night before, I rent a studio in Hackney Wick. And my neighbor, he was still working until about 12, 1 o'clock in the morning with one of his friends. And I kept having to go in and say, can you just come in so that you, I can use you as a prop so that I can actually and see if this holds on. And he actually made a comment saying, you watch these music videos, but you actually never think that there is a hairdresser sitting there until 1 o'clock in the morning preparing this stuff.
Yeah.
And no one will ever really put the thought into that. Or I did Joy Crooks, her album cover, the visuals for that.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So the main album cover, she's sitting and she's got about 15, oh no, one of the covers for her singles of the album. I'm not sure which one they've used it for. But she's got 15 wigs around her, all propped on dollies, and you only see the back.
Right.
And, you know, as much as people were like, you're just going to pick up wigs, there was a whole color scheme that I had to follow. It couldn't be too bright. It couldn't be too dark. It couldn't be too this. It couldn't be. And it had to. And it was the most challenging thing ever. It took me a whole day, to a day and a half, first to go and look where would I find the right wigs, then to go and collect all the wigs, then come back and actually sit there and make sure that they look slick and proper and, you know, it's exactly what they want. And then you've always got to run back, get approval. Is everybody happy?
Yeah.
So there's a lot involved in it.
You're listening to the Promo News Podcast, talking music videos in association with Loop Talent. Make sure to subscribe on your favourite platform to hear more in the series. So what would you say the turnaround for your kind of aspect of the videos is? So will you get a brief at the same kind of time, like once the treatments have been written? Or is it kind of like a week before the shoot? What's your usual kind of turnaround?
Usually you're lucky to get a week.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're lucky to get a week. And then, you know, as soon as you get the treatment, then everybody specifically, for funny enough, people are very specific about what they want with hair when it comes to music videos.
Right.
So then you have to run around and find the things they want after you've had a meeting. And then, like, sometimes I found myself standing in the hair shop for ages because I'm waiting for the producer to get in touch with the director to then call me back. And to, because obviously, you know, this is London. Like, you don't just pop to the shop to buy, you know, you're driving up, down, left, right. Yeah. And then there's a lot to carry. So it's not like I'm going to be spending every day going back and forth, you know. So, and I, you know, and then sometimes I'm standing in these shops and the owners are looking at me like, are you going to buy this? Or
I got to wait on like 10 approvals.
Yeah, basically. Hey, give me another 45 minutes and I'll be able to tell you, you know. And then they want to, obviously, they're trying to keep their shop neat and you're standing there going, no, don't put that away just yet. But then when you're ready to spend, funny enough, people's attitudes always change. Do you know what I mean? Like,
when they know you're for real.
Yeah.
And what's your relationship like, both in pre-production and production, with the makeup artists? Is it like a close collaboration?
Never.
Never?
No.
Wow. I wasn't expecting that one. Well, ooh. So you have
got
to
a problem
kind of work
with makeup
around
artists?
Yeah.
No.
So you have to work around each other.
Yeah, because the brief is already given. And then they'll be like, this is what we want with hair and this is what we want with makeup. And then kind of when you're actually there together on the day, sometimes you do kind of say like, okay, I'm, you know, makeup artists do tend to be quite good at being like, I'm going to do it like this and I'm going to use these colors and things like that. And obviously you meet the stylist and then you have a little discussion as well. But generally, you're lucky. If you're very lucky, you get to work with makeup artists who you magically have this, like, you know, telepathic way of communicating, and you just know. Like, I have a few makeup artists who I work with, and we don't really need to communicate. Everybody just sort of, you grasp somebody's idea, they then grasp your idea, and then all of a sudden these things happen and you think, wow, did we do that, you know?
Sure. Because it's all happening very fast, isn't it? I mean, usually when you come on set and you're at the shoot, you've got how long to make everything happen?
So generally you get about 2 hours, and that's if the second AD is feeling very friendly. Because his job is obviously to make sure that, you know, he doesn't piss other people off. So every 5 seconds they're standing there going, "You ready?" Mm-hmm. And then when you go like 15 minutes, they're like, "Yeah, 5 minutes, yeah." And then they come back 5 minutes. So that's when the real pressure comes in. And then obviously sometimes you're working with artists, they need to settle in as well. And then there's all this like conversations that need to happen beforehand. It's never a case of like, you will arrive as a hairstylist, you will arrive beforehand, or makeup or styling, you know, you arrive beforehand, you set up, you get everything ready. And then when the person comes in, ideally it would be like walk in, sit in the seat and let's get started. But it never goes like that because you know, people are getting their coffees and their breakfast. And then, you know, people are having conversations about how things are going to happen. So sometimes that can eat into your, you know, minimalist 2 hours. But you get there in the end.
Yeah. And the artists themselves, I mean, presumably they know what they want, how they want to look.
Sometimes it's a variety of things. Sometimes you obviously don't just go in and start doing something without discussing it with the artist first. So you'll have like a little discussion. There's also, if you work with somebody quite regularly, you've also got a relationship with them. And through that relationship, you get to know each other. So you do find out what the person likes, what they don't like, you know. And you do also in the research that you do with regards to, say, I get put forward to work with a new artist. Like I hadn't worked with Amara Ray, for example, in the past. And so the first thing I did was go and look at her Instagram. How does she like to present herself? What is sort of her vibe? And how can I put her vibe on that next little level that's a bit edgier? So for somebody like that, for example, we had a whole meeting with production and the director and everybody beforehand. And I presented my ideas. So by the time she did actually get to the job, she knew exactly what we were doing.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's beautifully considered video, isn't it? And your work is fantastic in that. She looks amazing.
Thank you.
I was going to ask, as a little bit of a side note, how does your working methods change between different formats? So, for example, commercials, like stills and music videos.
They don't really change that much. The things you take into consideration are more movement, who the target audience is, who the client is, what they're about, you know, that's what's going to change all the time. So I did a, you know, not music video related, I did a campaign for Sanderson's. They do the wallpapers, like the interior design company. Mm-hmm. And we went in and we did their campaign, and it was all very, you know, it had like, it was very high fashion and it was very glamorous. And so what I want to present in that will be different. But the core thing, regardless of what it is I do, is the prep. Mm. The prep is the most important. If you have an idea what you're doing, how you're executing it, what material you're bringing, that will get you through the day no matter what. Like, I had a situation years ago where I did a music video, Freak of the Week with Creptin Conan. I don't know if you've heard. Yeah. Right. And all the dancers in there, they all have, you know, geisha-like hairstyles, you know, oriental type of hairstyles. And I was told I was only working on two girls. So I was just like, yeah, no problem, you know. But I put so much research into it because it was one of the first very creative music videos I was doing, and I'd put so much research into it And then when I turned up on the day itself, it turned out to be that somehow there was miscommunication between the record label and production. So there was no other hairdresser. And there were all these girls that needed to have their hair done. Yeah.
Oh.
Because I'd done my prep so thoroughly, it was a breeze. It was hard work, but I didn't struggle in terms of like, what am I going to do? Like, it was pretty much being able to pick up and say, you know what, this is what I'm going to do on this person. That's how I'm going to make that person look. So it went quite easy, but without having prepped for it,
yeah,
it wouldn't have been easy.
Wow.
And even...
you saved the day then, obviously, on a
very important video. Saved the day.
Yeah. It was a long day.
And what about you worked on the Little Sims video for Woman?
Yeah, that was a really good one because she directed it herself. So yeah, that was
great.
Yeah, it was. And I love the concept. I love the song, the lyrics, everything in it. That was hard work as well, believe it or not. We were given a brief, and the brief was, you know, we're going very 50s in this. So it had to be all these women dancers and everybody in there that had to come and sort of like have these 50s hairstyle, not necessarily too old fashioned, but it just had to look beautiful.
Yeah.
And then on the day itself, I think like we started at like 5:30 in the morning, something really, really early because there was so many people we had to get through. And obviously you get given this brief and it's just like, yeah, 1950s. And you think this is great. And then I turned up there and like, some of the girls had braids in it, which obviously nobody wore their hair in braids in the 1950s. And then, you know, some people had, like, there were all these different hair types. And then you had to all of a sudden be like, I need to make this look like something out of the night. But how? And it was so challenging that I don't think that a lot of people might watch the music videos, but they might not actually understand with certain of the hairstyles, the intricacy that goes into trying to figure out how this is going to stay together. Like, I remember looking across the room at one point, there was another hairdresser working there. And when I tell you, the girl was sweating beads because, and she did it in the end. It looked fantastic. It looked amazing. But it was just this whole, how am I going to make this happen? You know?
Because the cast is huge, isn't it? I mean, because like she's talking about different women from different parts of the Caribbean and Africa and elsewhere. And you basically, each one is represented in the video.
Yeah.
So, do you remember just the sheer scale of that video?
Yeah.
And I was thinking, I'm glad you said there was another hairdresser on the set. I'm glad that one was all down to you.
There were several, but, you know, we had dancers, then we had all the cameos, and then it was on all the extras.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, you know, from the time you walked in there, it was like, right, it's like you walk in and you're focused, you know, there's no time to be delallying about with your imagination about anything.
So what did you do? What was your biggest achievement in that video? Do you think, is there a particular character that you worked on you're really pleased with?
No, I was quite pleased with all of them, to be honest.
Yeah. Good answer.
Yeah. No, I was like, I look at the video now and I'm just like, yeah. Yeah, no, I was quite pleased. And obviously, Joy Crooks was there and I work with her quite regularly, you know. So when she came through, she was one of the cameos. When she came through, I was actually quite excited because I was just like, oh, this is somebody I work with quite regularly as well. So I already had an idea. Obviously, I have an idea of what she does like. And then like twist it around and make it kind of 1950s. That was quite a pleasant challenge, but I enjoyed it. Yeah.
Brilliant. So what else? What else have you been working on?
I am actually working on something right now, but I'm not allowed to tell.
That's normal. Fun.
We like
Come on.
I guess following on from that, is there anything that you've kind of always wanted to try but never had the chance?
With regards to?
Just with regards to kind of like maybe hairstyles or any kind of artists that you'd really like to work with but haven't had the opportunity yet.
I would love, love, love to work with Solange.
Yeah.
That would be, you know, because she's quite adventurous in what sure. she does and experimental. And she doesn't really come across as somebody who's scared. Mm-hmm. And I would just, if she's listening to this, I'm yeah. here.
Lange, if you're listening to the Pro News
apparently she subscribed.
You to make yourself, you to make yourself known.
Say both subscribe yeah. to the Pro
yeah. News podcast. Oh, yeah.
I have it on good authority. Someone told me.
But I worked with Khalil Joseph.
Khalil Joseph. Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I had the opportunity to work with him. So I know I'm like getting closer, definitely.
Yeah, the degrees of separation are...
Oh, yeah, they're very... and that was... It was also a music video. Sampha, we did like a whole music, a visual album for him.
I remember. That's amazing okay. film. Yeah. I didn't know yeah. you were involved in that.
Yeah, I was. I was involved in everything that was done in London. And oh. He actually came up to me in the morning and he was just like, whatever it is you want to do, I will get inspired. So you go ahead and you do what you want. And I'm just thinking, oh my God, did this guy, Khalil Joseph, just give me like artistic freedom? And that was literally it. He gave me artistic. I was so happy.
Wow.
Well, that's telling. So you really want artistic freedom. You're not, you're working off a brief often, mostly. But what you really want is artistic freedom to do what you want. But presumably you also need to have the time to prepare for it.
Yeah, you do need the time to prepare for it.
So was he saying, yeah, I'll do it. Yeah, you've got the freedom, but it has to be done in the next hour and a half or whatever.
I mean, you need to be a bit realistic with what you offer people in terms of your time. But I think if somebody, I'm often enough, you'd still need to discuss your ideas, though, with the other person, isn't it? Just so that everybody is on the same page. Because what necessarily, I might think something is super cool, but sometimes it's also the person's character and personality. If they are actually willing to take that step into the, you know, something completely wild or anything like that. Like, are people actually, in the beginning, I did a lot of shoots, for example, just to build up my portfolio, a lot of beauty tests. And, you know, I'd have these like fantastic ideas and I'd be creating these things. And then the model would actually be like, I don't really like this. And then you're like, oh, yeah, okay. And it looks fantastic, but it's also down to the person's personality, the person who has to wear it. Because if somebody yeah. is confident in how they feel, that is also easily reflected.
Of course, yeah. It just comes straight through a photograph or the lens, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah,
absolutely crucial. Well.
That's been really great.
No, yeah, thank you so much for having me. I've enjoyed it. I hope I didn't talk your ears off. But.
No, absolutely not. And we're just excited for, to see what's to come.
Bye.
Bye. This has been the Promo News podcast, talking music videos with David Knight and Rob Ulitsky of Promo News in association with Loop Talent. Our thanks again to Regina Meeson and to Lucy Price at Loop Talent. You can find links to the videos discussed in this podcast at promonews.tv, the home for the latest in music video creativity and production news. And subscribe to the Promo News podcast to hear more of our conversations with leading creatives in the music video industry. Bye for now.